Start.
Hi.
Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for July 13th, 2025. Dorothy,
Hello.
hello.
Hello. Sorry, I was like gutting to get home and trying to find the email that's like great. Okay, I think
Yeah.
all right. So I think I spoke about this last time. That I have got a great consulting gig, and which is amazing. And then a previous client came to me and wants me to do a direct a project in the fall, which is also great. I've worked for them before, and it was problem. There was some problems with it. Previously, I've been paid like a lump sum, like a contract piece, and. Now, and I when I went over the hours they're expecting for me to do, the rate they paid me the last time is not going to happen. I won't do it for that. And so I have already in my head, like I know what I want to be paid. And so now they've come back to me and they're saying they want to work it out as an hourly thing. And so what's interesting about that is that that's actually better for me, but I want to like be like, absolutely. I see, I'm trying to work out the verbiage of it because there was, because not only am I directing in rehearsals, but there's admin, there's prep time. And so I want to put into verbiage what I will be expecting to be paid each week. That's what I'm looking for.
So no, that's great. First of all, congratulations.
Yay. Yeah, sure.
So basically, what you want to articulate is the my proposed weekly payment of this amount will likely cover or will cover my time and energy for the following areas. Directing, admin, scheduling, rehearsals, bidi-bidi, la la la. All of that.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. So
Well,
what beyond that?
I think what happens, what they tend to do is, because we all know that even if we some weeks it's going to be 1 hour of admin and some weeks it's going to be like 5 hours of admin. So I'm trying to kind of like I don't know how specific I need to get with them unless they ask me. Does that or do I because I know it'll be approximately 4 hours of rehearsal a week and then I also want 2 hours of admin and prep time. So 6 hours a week. I think I just said what I need to
But for you,
Yes.
when you're doing something that's like a lump sum or a monthly retainer or a weekly payment amount, even an
Yeah.
hourly thing, it's always an average, you know?
Right.
So it's like some weeks are going to be more, some weeks are going to be less, and then it averages out. So I would say 4 hours rehearsal, 2 hours admin, but I'd put another hour in there for nonsense, you know, back and forth email stuff. What about commuting time?
It's 2 blocks from my house. I can walk there. So
Okay.
that's like, yay.
And the thing to consider, I just actually got off a client call and we were restructuring her bookkeeping business. And she was very much focused on just like hourly, hourly, hourly with all her clients. And I was like, it's time for you to start to look at your business holistically. And for you, it would be looking at this job holistically because your clients aren't just paying you for your effort or your time. They're paying you for all the space you need in order to do the job. So you can't do a rehearsal and wrangle all those people if you haven't cleared out the bandwidth in your head to do that. So it may mean that before you go to rehearsal, you sit there for an hour and you're thinking about it, or you're just doing, or even prepping a meal so that you can eat during the rehearsal. Like, it's a whole thing, and where freelancers, they forget and they just think about the hours that you'll actually be delivering the
Yeah,
service. So
right.
you want a little bit of buffer time so that you're not feeling tight or resentful when you have to send that other email that is urgent. You just want to be like, oh, another email, boom, but I'm getting paid, so whee.
There you go. Yeah, I think because previously I was paid a lump sum, and now it sounds that they want to do it hourly, but I'm not even sure if they want me to, like, if it's going to be a clock in, clock out thing. But I think it's mainly like just being like, hey, it's going to be rehearsal, but I am going to be logging for these hours that I'm doing any admin, any prep that will be struck payment that I will be logging in as well.
It sounds
So.
to me like there's a conversation before this actual thing. Some other pieces, like if they want to pay you hourly, you need to, do I need to be using an app where I like literally, like Kate has something that she uses for me, where it's like I'm working for Christine because she has other people she's working for. So she like tallies up her, keeps track of her minutes in some way, magical way. And then tells me at the end of a month, So there's apps. It's like, so you want to find out, like, is your expectation that I am granularly tracking the minutes in increments of 15 that I'm putting towards this job? And then what happens? Are you then delivering that to them at the end of the week? And then when do you get your money for that? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Like, you need to kind of have, I don't think you yet have an understanding of what their expectation is. And you can say, that's one way we can do it. It might turn out to be even more expensive that way if I really am factoring in all the time that I'm working on this project. What might just be easier is if it's this weekly. I'm thinking that there'll be an average of 7 hours a week that I will be putting towards this, or 8 hours a week. And this is the amount that would be weekly. So you tell me how you would like to do this, but it sounds to me there's one more conversation here, because it's, and they got to have, whether or not they're paying you a lump sum, there's a figure they have in their head that they're trying to get to. So you can say, you can bypass this conversation, just go, well, I think the easiest way for both of us to work is that there's likely going to be an 8 hour expenditure of time when we factor in all the things, administration, rehearsal, prep, my prep time, blah, blah, blah. And for those 8 hours, this is the amount that you would pay me weekly. And then just see what they say.
True. Okay.
That
Got it.
Easiest for you. You don't want to be tracking every granular minute. Yeah, you don't. That takes the fun out of a creative project. So just do 8 hours a week.
Got it.
And how much are you going to charge?
50 an hour. Cool.
All right. And is that an amount that you feel is makes you happy and will likely make them happy-ish?
Yes, because it would with the hours and everything that I'm proposing, it will definitely be a very nice jump in what I received last time.
Okay,
So,
great.
yeah. Awesome.
Congratulations. I hope it goes through.
Thank
If they're smart, they'll say yes.
you. Yeah.
Cool. Therese. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? Good to see you.
To you.
So I'm checking in. Things are moving along. Honestly, it's a little bit slower than I would like, Christine, but that could also just be me. So I am getting more gigs, things are coming in, but I have been toying with this idea of possibly putting out feelers for a part-time or full-time like remote gig just to bring in some more money that I could also use to invest in certain creative projects that I want to do that also go back, funnel back into my acting and my harp. Now, my question is, it might not be more of a question, more of a figuring things out. Like, how do you go about figuring out if A, me looking for this kind of work is partially for, like, obviously for finances, or me, like, kind of distracting myself from just sticking to what I said I was going to do? Does that make sense? Part of me is like, well, if I put out feelers and nothing really comes back, then maybe that's a sign that I just need to like stick to my guns and stick to what I said I was going to do. But if there is something that comes along that can actually help ease the pressure that I'm putting on such a creative, passion of mine, then I think it's something that's worth considering.
Yeah, the way I would respond to that under these circumstances is, why don't you just decide, okay, I'm gonna spend 4 hours a week putting out feelers for a job. So it's almost like another path towards income. You don't stop the marketing plan that we had put in place and the outreach for that. You add on a little bit of outreach in this direction.
Got it. Got it. Got
Because,
it.
because it's hard to discern without being all up in your grill. Like, are you really distracting yourself? It's the question. That's why it's important to have metrics. I'm going to do this many outreaches a week. I'm going to pitch myself to this many podcasts. I'm gonna create the, because then you know if you're not doing it. If I'm gonna market my business, that's hard to know what you're doing.
Exactly.
But you
Which has
said,
been doing, but it doesn't feel like it's yielding as much results as I guess in my head I thought would do.
yeah.
It's not like it's not doing anything. Like I am getting trickles and stuff, but it's like, can we get a geyser?
Well, what if the story is, I think this is a very helpful story. For every 10 outreaches, you'll get one gig. And then those metrics start to be like, make a little bit more sense. It's like when people are trying to fill a workshop, I'm like, okay, for every butt you put in a seat, that's a new funnel source. It's not, oh, I'm going to reach out to these three people who have their audiences, and then I'll get 10 people from each of them. I'm like, no, one person from each. And then it's like, oh shit. Okay, so now I have to do a lot more outreach than I thought. Gotta lower your expectations of the yield. Can't be like, oh, I hope. It's like, no. What if it is 1 to 10? If I want to get four, if I want to book four gigs before the end of the year, that's 40 people I need to outreach to.
I'm not looking at, the metrics too much.
It's just the numbers game that's the truth. Always get far less. Trust me, it's the bane of my existence. You get far less for the amount of people you need to let know that you exist.
Yeah, which I feel like this numbers game is something that even comes up with Miata, so this makes so much sense. Everything's connected. You were gonna say something.
Yes. And that's why I'm always talking about, and I talk about in the cash flow course, what I call funnel people, individual people who have their audience who can funnel more than one person towards you. So if you're doing outreach, it's better for you to be outreaching to funnel people rather than just a potential client, because a funnel
Absolutely.
person, it's not like they might give you 10 clients all at once, but if they gave you one client every single year and then you have 10 funnel people giving you one client every single year, that's a sustainable.
Yeah, which is why we focus on the planners and the podcasts and
Like 10 funnel people per booking.
Yeah, for sure. For
If you
sure.
start to operate like that, then you're doing the amount of outreach that you actually need to do to get the ball rolling. You won't always have to do this. You have to get the ball rolling to then create the momentum eventually.
Yeah, okay. So the fact that I am getting slowly things more consistently is actually a good sign. I think I've just been expecting more from it. But yeah, I just realized that, like, what if, I don't know why, I just woke up one day and I was just like, what if I just opened myself up to seeing if maybe there is some type of work that, like, I could still do the acting
Yeah.
work from there and just to see what's out there.
Oh, I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I had in my head that that's kind of like giving up.
Oh, right. No, that's called paying rent. Yeah. You give up, you switch the story in your head to like, oh, now that I have like, now that I'm working at this job, that's who I am. It's like, no, I am an artist slash harpist who happens to be working here to support this stuff right now. I was always an actress. I was never a girl working in I worked in like a Xerox store, an independent copy shop back when people needed to make copies that way. But I was never a girl working in a copy shop who wanted to be an actress. I was an actress who happened to be working in a copy shop right now.
Yeah. Okay.
The mental
I perceive it. That's
Yeah.
so helpful. Yeah, I th that part I needed to hear. More important.
And we are in an era, by any means necessary. How do we keep ourselves afloat? By any means necessary. So anybody casting shade on like, oh, you're doing this now. What about the harp and what about the acting? Hey, paying the rent by any means necessary. I'm being smart by having multiple sources of income so that if one goes down, the other goes up. Yeah. That we are in a new era by any means necessary.
Okay, by any means necessary. All right, that's going on the post-it note.
This is paying the rent, not how you pay the rent.
And that would be nice to have a little bit less pressure on something that's like creative for me. So, all right. Thank
Different
you.
eras, different things. You're going to have all sorts of kinds of income in your life. Be into it all.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's like a lifetime thing. All right, that was it. Thank you. I
We'll check
appreciate
in.
you.
Good to see you
Good
always.
to see you always. Bye.
All right, bye. Collie? Is it Collie?
Hello, it's Kaylee.
Haley.
Hi.
Get that wrong all my life. Hi.
All good. Most people do, and it is fine. Okay, so I this another like negotiating a contract style question. I am in talks with this guy who I know from improv. He's on my indie improv team now. He has his own independent video production company. And I am working as a producer for a different independent video production company as a side gig. It's 5 hours a week. And we were talking, me and this new guy, we were talking, and I was like, hey, hiring for a producer? And he was like, actually, yeah, I think so. So we've been talking, and now we are at the point of rate and contract negotiation. So basically, he wants me to come on as producer for a future doc and the like post production of that. It is so nebulous. He does not really know how much work this is going to be, period. And I have not done, I have done some of his work. I still consider myself to be fairly green here. He was saying shit like maybe like we'll get you something on the back end or blah 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 blah. And like, and he's like, obviously, like look it up, take whatever time you need to like come to me with an offer, and then we'll negotiate from there. And I'm like, cool. I have respect for him because he has made his own company and that is his job. And he has, you know, his commercial clients, and his commercial clients are how he is paying for the production of this doc through out of his own pocket. Where I am coming up short with how to draw up what I want and need is he is very unclear with what he needs from me, time-wise and labor-wise. I am unclear because I have never done this kind of thing before. I am confident I will be able to do it, but I don't necessarily have the experience of being like, this is what we're going to need to do here. So my gut idea is to just do like straight hourly, because he was like, maybe a like a production fee, like a like for just a flat fee. And I'm like, that sounds crazy for something that I have no idea how much time and labor I'm going to need to put into this.
I'm glad you felt that way. Great.
I also I know that this doesn't make any business sense, but I am also kind of shying away. I'm a little bit nervous to ask for what I would like to get, or at least ask for, I know you say, I think you said like 20% over what you would actually be happy working for, because he's like self-funding this. And I don't know why I and like I'm womaning a little bit, like, oh no, he's self-funding it, we're artists, blah blah blah
Yeah.
blah blah blah, whatever. So yes, I don't know if that's a question, but my question basically is, I do not feel confident about moving into these negotiations, and I am looking for a little bit of guidance.
Ah, oh, Kaylee, you're so smart. You're so
Thank you.
smart. You're so smart to be, first of all, your spidey sense is up and giving you good feedback, but also you're really smart to come and have this conversation because it is a story old as time. Oh, I'll help this person out and I'm hoping to get paid, but then it's vague and then I get into it and I've worked all these hours, but then I see behind the scenes mess and he doesn't have any money and so I feel bad and so I'll just take these little crumbs and then hope it's better next time. Tale as old as time. And that's not going to happen to you because you're here. Okay, this
Yes,
is
I am.
okay. So the first thing we have, there's a lot of vagueness here and we need to get clear. So the first thing we need to get clear on is there is a distinction that is important for y'all, for all of us creative types to make. You are either participating in a project because it's lighting up your creative fire and you're like, great, I love this. I believe in this documentary or whatever. And it's, I'll get paid on the back end and maybe, but I would do it for free. It's either lighting your creative fire or I am doing this. Sure, it sounds like fun. Sure, I love your project. That's great, but I'm using this for rent. I need to like have money for my time. It's one of those two things. Once you start to blur it together, like, well, I do need rent, but I also like love this project. Ugh, then you get no money. Then you're
I
working for
also
dollar
don't
an hour.
love the project. I don't think it's going to be very good. I'm like, okay, whatever.
So you are in this for the money, period.
Correct.
Which means you don't want back end, you don't want
No.
any, you want money up front so you can give it to your landlord because your landlord's not giving you rent on the back end either.
Correct.
Okay, so that's the first thing you have to get clear on. So now we're clear that you're in this for the money. Okay. So now the next step that you will, once you make this offer, get very clear on is, does he really want the help? Does he want to pay for help? Does he need help enough to be willing to figure out how to pay for it? I'm unsure of that yet. You know, most people want the help and don't want to pay for it. And what they do is they lean on, oh, yeah, but it's a creative project and it could have a back end and we work so well together and they'll spin a sweet song. He either is going to figure out how to pay for help or not. That's not your problem, but it's something you need to like find out. And him being vague right now is like him not wanting to pay. Or else he'd come and go, "Hey, I need help on my dock and I'm willing to pay $10 an hour for $20 hours a week. Like, are you in for it?" He'd give you
The answer would be no. I don't
yeah.
have that kind of time for that kind of money. Hell no.
Exactly. Right, but he's not being clear up front. So
No.
he really wants you to work up front and hopefully never have to pay you. That's what he's hoping. Even
I explicitly asked just for a starting point. I was like, "What's the budget?"
Yeah.
And he was like,
He's not a money guy, obviously. He may have a business that's paying his rent, but he's not a business. He's not doing business with you right now. He's sort of seeing if maybe you'll help him for nothing. So you still need to do business with him. You have no hope of getting money out of someone who's not willing to do business. And if you do business, meaning be clear, make an offer, and they dodge it or don't drag it out, there's no money in this for you. So, you're just going to make an offer. Hey, I'm totally willing to help you with your documentary. I suggest, since there doesn't seem to be clarity on like how much help you need right now or whatever, how about you pay me in 10-hour increments up front, and then we'll see how long that 10 hours go. And if you still want me to work for me, you can work for you. You can pay me another 10-hour chunk, and we'll just go from there. That's
So,
my
like, that would be like if I happen to do 10 hours in 5 weeks, then he pays me in 5 weeks after I clock those 10 hours.
no, up front,
No?
you bank time with me and then tell me how you want to use the time. And then when the time has run out, you can decide if you want to bank another 10 hours with me.
Kind
When
of love
someone's
that.
being clear and weird, and I mean, not clear, when someone's being vague about money and weird about money, oh no, you don't want to invoice them and then get paid 100 days late. Like, what? No, I
No.
want the money up front, or else I'm going to put something else on my schedule. Like, what you're
Literally.
saying to him, if you would like my help with this documentary and you would like me to save time in my schedule for you, I suggest we do this in 10-hour chunks. You pay me up front. That way the time is banked. I'll make room in my schedule and we'll see how you need it. And at the end of those 10 hours, whether they come in 3 days or 3 weeks, you can decide if you want 10 more hours. That's how I would do it.
I love that.
And he's either going to pay it or he's not. He might counter offer, but I can't really think of a counter offer that's going to be better for you than that. safer.
Cool.
Well, how about you just like work for 10 hours and then you tell me and then I'll pay? No. If he doesn't have the money now to pay you for 10 hours, he doesn't have the money to pay you for 10 hours, period. Yeah.
All right. I love that. Now, also, listening to, I believe it was Dorothy who just sh graciously shared the rate that she was asking. And now I'm double guessing my rate that I was going to ask because I believe I am greener on this than Dorothy is for her job that she's doing. So I'm like, am I asking too much? Oh no.
Well,
So I was going to ask for 60, expecting him to go to 50.
And
And
what kinds of things do you think you'll be doing for him?
keeping the editor on track. He wants this to be like artistic and creative, and everybody has a say, and we like, and everybody like watches the all the string outs that the editor has and blah 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 and like input creatively. And I'm like, I kind of think that this project is pointless and a little bit shitty. So me having to watch the footage of this project is going to be a slog for me because it is about two guys who we're starting a sunglasses business and went to Europe for angel seed funding and then came back to America, and it's about gonna be about the American dream. And I'm like, that sounds like the shittiest documentary I've ever heard in my entire life. And if I'm going to need to use my brain to think up artistic ways to tell this story that I feel like is going to be bad, then I need more money. So
Yeah.
that's why I was going to start at 60. Also, I need money, frankly. With all
Yeah.
my work from Miata, I'm like, oh, I need money.
So I like to orient my price points kind of based on what's out in the world. I
Yeah.
take that into consideration. And if you're trying to find clients, we want to find a price that fits your ideal client. But I like to just get in alignment with what I want to charge without comparing myself. Oh, but Dorothy has this experience, and because she's doing something different, and her
She's doing
life
something
could
different,
be
that
set
is.
up differently.
But then my
Who
brain
knows?
was like
Yeah, no, that's
overthinking
okay.
everything.
That's okay. But it sounds like you were going to ask for 60 in hopes of getting 50.
It was correct.
Great. I would totally do that. You feel aligned with the price. I can hear it. And it's good for your muscle building. It is the thing you're probably going to get out of this isn't money. It's actually this opportunity to use your muscles and ask for what you want and not womaning and like just going for it. And then the only question is if he counters with 40 or 30, will you be like, I think I can't accommodate that? Like, you need to also know how low you'll go. Is if it's fine, if 50 is like 50 is it. So you have to pay taxes on that too.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, if 50 is the lowest, 50 is the lowest. He makes a counter, say, I'm sorry, 50 is the lowest I can go. Let me know. And then that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just business. You're not hurting
Just
his
business.
feelings. I mean, you may, but that's out of your control. But like, if he's not doing business, it'll get all weird and sticky. But if he's doing business, he'll just be like, that's too rich for my blood and move on.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, if he's like, oh, but I really want your input on this, and you go, oh, you can pay me a flat consulting fee to watch one pass of your movie and give you notes. That's just another thing he can pay you for.
Yeah.
And that'll be like 4 hours of your time, and then you charge him, $60 for an hour for those 4 hours.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Cool.
He'll either say yes or he'll say no, and then you can move on and find another way to make money.
Yes, correct. I one last thing. I'm sorry, quickly. In my brain, I'm also like, okay, but if I did take this for a little bit less, because I am green in this particular area of the industry and it is something that I enjoy in general and something that I believe I'm good at doing. So this would also give me like experience. So
Okay.
then is that a reason to go lower
Oh,
than,
sure. Like, you always have to decide what I'm getting out of it. Sometimes it's partly money and partly experience or connections or whatever. But yeah, there can be lots of other reasons you're doing a job than just the money. So here's another way you can do it. So let's say you say 60, he comes back with 30, and you say, look, the lowest I wanted to go is 50, but what we can do is for the first 10-hour block, I'll do it at 40. And then if you want more of that, the rate goes up to 50. So
I
that's
like that.
another ne way to negotiate is when someone's like, oh, but I only wanted to pay this much, and you really kind of do want the job, you can say, okay, for this limited amount of time, I'll do it at that rate. And then if we're a good match and it works out and you want more of what I bring to the table, the rate goes up. So it can be the first 10 hours for another person's situation. It could be I'll do that for 4 3 months and then the rate will go up. I usually start when I work with assistants, it's like we have a probationary period where we're both feeling each other out, and that probationary period is at a certain rate and then the rate goes up. So I'm like, not if I don't like them or it doesn't work out or they don't like me, I'm not like, I'm saving a little bit of money up. But then they get the promise of like, after this amount of time, the rate will go up. So just keep
I like
that.
that.
Don't say that if up front. Keep it in your back pocket. You have all these things in your little pocket when you're negotiating that you can pull out as it goes on. The first thing you do is you say what you want. Then they come back and go, oh, how about this? And then if you do want the job and are willing, then you say, well, I was going to go here, but then, but here's another, how about we just do it, and then it increases.
I like it.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. That makes me feel much, much better. I really appreciate it.
Good. Yeah. I love that you're just doing this because your muscles are building, and that is so valuable. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kaylee. Hello, Alexandra.
The wrong thing. There, that was the right thing. Hello.
Hello.
So, a couple things. One, I have my first free day on Thursday.
You have
And
it or you're gonna have it.
I'm going to have it.
Okay.
And I'm a little like, because I have a dubbing job right now. And when I recorded on Friday, they were like, great. So, yeah. So, we haven't officially done it, but we're looking at the 17th or whatever Thursday is. And I just went, said it was a free day. And so then my brain started arguing with itself of like, how much do I go? No, it's a free day. And how much do I go? No, I could do it Friday. Like, there's a whole thing. It's not a question. This is
Okay,
just
good.
how
Move
my
your
brain
free
is
day.
going.
Move your free day. It doesn't fall off the calendar, but you can move for
But my
money.
question is, so I got a, for those of who don't know me, my day job, my whatever is audiobook stuff. That's my creating cash flow business. And I got a request for an audition that is a fairly low rate compared to what I've done the last 6 to 8 months. It's not like disgusting, but it's definitely on the lower end. And it would be for a series of four books. And the first book is like right away. And I did a lot of Miata work around like, okay, I know what my annual number is. I like figured out how much I'm owed that I haven't received yet in terms of, jobs that I have just completed or I'm about to complete. So I know like how much I'm short for the year. based on just today. But I just thought I would sort of come on the call because my brain, heart, guts always argue with themselves. And part of me, my ego is going, no way, bitch. And like, I of course want the better jobs, the pay more, but I can't guarantee that they're going to come this year. But I also don't want to say no because I'm on a four book thing. I did reach out to the dubbing job to say, I have the potential for this work. How many more hours do we have on this recording project? And the director reached out to the producer. I should hear back tomorrow about how many more hours we're talking about and what period we're talking about. Like, is it right now or are they batching it September or what? And I did reread the audition to see, oh, like, am I in love with this book? Because maybe if I'm in love with this book, then it kind of doesn't matter because I'm creatively satisfied. So I feel like I've done a lot of data digging on this, but I just wanted to kind of come and talk to you about that balance of when do we kind of compromise and say, and by the way, guys, it's not like they offered me the book. We're talking about an audition. So like I may very well not even get the fucking series. But I was just curious about your thoughts about like the, and oh, and I reached out to the producer and said, what's the wiggle room on the rate? Because this is what my rate normally is. So this is the window that I'm willing to like look at. And she came back and was like, it's a really low project. So this is all we got. And I understand if you want to pass, just let me know. So yeah, I just maybe wanted to know what other questions I need to ask myself, or I don't know. It just feels very unknown sticky. And so I just wanted to kind of talk it out a bit.
No, really good. So the thing that's sort of like the real thorniness about this is that it's four, possibly four books. If it was just one, it'd be like, sure, great, I'll take the money and I'll fit it in my schedule. But you're kind of committing if they go with you and it's like you sign for the four book deal, it's like you're committing a chunk of your time at this rate. And it would be hard to like take on other projects. That's the thing. And here, it's so that's the hard thing about a creative life is it's a gamble. And that's why a lot of times, you know, performers have a really hard time having a family because they have to take stuff when it comes. Like, oh, I got offered this thing. I don't know if I'll ever get offered a thing like this before. And I know we were going to go on a family vacation, but I got to do this thing because who knows what, you just don't know what comes next. There's a lot of gambling and a lot of betting on yourself of like, what? I'm just gonna bet that there's more in the pipeline for me at the higher rate. And the question, the other factor is also like, well, if I get one book at my regular rate, does that make up for like two and a half of the books? Like, how much do I have to book at my regular rate to, because you're working more for this.
Less.
So I think the thing that makes it difficult is that it's a four book series. So what is your head saying? What is your heart saying? And what is your gut saying?
My gut is saying, and then my head yells at my gut, aren't bodies fun? My gut is saying no. My gut is saying something else is gonna come. You know, I've done three PRH or three PRH adjacent books this year already. So I know I have fans over there. And they're at my like my almost highest rate is them. I know the marketing that I need to do. once I finish the book that I'm on right now, which is due on Tuesday. So my gut is saying what you're saying. I don't want to be shackled for four books and have to say no to something. And the reality is, guys, I wouldn't say no. So then I would just make myself sick
Right.
because I would be like so upset. And also, this isn't what I want to do. I want to do on camera, and I won't have had any time for that because I've completely obliterated my schedule with all of this stuff. My brain, I think it's my brain, is calling me an egomaniac and saying, you have no idea that that's going to be true. And also, aren't you doing this for the money as opposed to sort of the accolades or whatever? Because there is a cachet to working for the big five as opposed to working for, more indie producers. And my body is having a response to that brain comment. So that feels really good of like, yes, but no, because it's also about the money and the hire rate and all that other stuff. And then I also have a little bit of guilt because this is the first time this production house has reached out to me for an audition, which is great because it's based on the in-person and follow-up marketing that I did that they now reached out with an audition, and that's wonderful. And she did say, we will look. We'll get you on the next one. So she wasn't pissed or anything. But I think the unknown is scary, which is why I needed to kind of crunch the numbers today to be like, okay, how far away from making my year am I so that I have a sense of what the delusion is, because if I were only 50% in, I'd be like, you need to do the audition because, and I'm not. I'm actually doing pretty well in terms of making my number for the year.
Yeah, it's so exciting that this is coming mid-year, not in February, where you're like, I don't know, I guess I'm gonna do four books because, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Yeah. So the production company's fine. They love you. They're like, well, we know it's low. And the response to them would just be, I am totally open to considering one-off projects for lower my rate. This is a four thing, and I just can't commit that amount of time
At
potentially
that rate.
at that rate. I just
Yeah,
can't.
that's great.
So they're fine. Like, you're not going to burn any bridges. So now it's just about the mind, body, the gut, the heart. And the mind is talking out of fear. That's what it always does first. So your mind's talking out of fear. Your gut's clear. Your body's like, yeah, like I could totally not do this and be fine. I'd prefer not to get sick. And your heart is saying what?
Well, I think my heart right now is saying this is sort of a growth precipice. Like this choice to bet on me and my talent and, sort of where I'm going in the industry and the work that I put out, I need to treat it at a higher level, which is hard because I've had a few new genres in the past 3 months, and they, when you work with a director, we all know this. It's like self-tape versus like auditioning, right? When we work with a director, it's easy because you have a sounding board that's going, you're doing great, or it's not great. So when I'm recording it by myself, especially with the newer genres, there's a lot of you're shit, you're a fraud, they're never gonna hire you again. Like there's just a lot of back talk from the committee. But the reality is I am getting newer genres, I am getting sort of repeat calls from top publishing houses, and I kind of need to both be aware of this is my safety job, right? So I need to have some consistency. And knowing what I'm worth in terms of the fact that I deliver on time, the fact that my stuff is very emotionally based, the fact what my talents are within that. So that's kind of what my heart is saying.
Yeah. And so, based on what you just heard from your gut, body, and your mind, where do you land with it?
Then I need to say what you said, which is, if it were a one-off book, I'm so excited to be able to work with you guys. And if it were a one-off book, I totally would, but I can't. I don't want to audition and then say no to committing to a four-book deal at this rate because I
Yeah.
just can't. So,
Yeah.
love
Yeah.
you. Mean it. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And man, this is one of the places that people either do or don't. It's like a bridge that you either cross in your career or you do not cross. And it's the bridge of like, I have to trust the sensing that this is a pattern, that I am growing in my career, that I've reached a different level, and I have to say no to some things in order to make space for the other. And it's hard to know when you've reached the thing. You just have to feel it out, which is why I went through the body things with you. It's like you have to feel it out. I could reflect back to you. Yeah, I think you're at the point where you're going to be saying no a little bit more to get the things you want. As an actor, you are probably through the stage where you have to say no to the co-stars if you want, the other jobs. But then the auditions are less and it feels freaky, but they're better. And that's just how it feels. You've just reached that maturity in your career where you're like, I know my shit. I know I'm good. I have all this work history. I have fans. I will work. I have connections. Let's just trust what I'm building here. Because you don't have evidence that it's not working. You only have evidence that it's working, and you have evidence. This isn't like, I'm believing in myself and affirming that the work is, we're not doing that either. There's no riskiness here. It's you have a lot of evidence that what you're building is actually building. And I think you're just at a part where you have to start saying no to leave room for the other stuff. Yeah. And if you hadn't mentioned, and we've already discussed this, so I knew that you are aware of the marketing. So if you continue to do the marketing, chances are you're going to continue to get those jobs at your rate. So yeah.
Okay, great.
Good
We're
job.
gonna
Congratulations.
say no. Thank
And
you.
just congratulations on being asked to audition for a four book series. I mean, that's hot. That's great. Yeah.
It's great. It's
Yeah.
great. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. It's an important conversation. Yeah. Who else? Floor is open. How can we make a money? Sheila. Yeah.
This is my first time. I'm so excited to be part of Creating Cashflow. Very, very excited.
Happy to have you here.
I'm kind of exploring a few things, and I was just curious if so. I'm really curious about book narration. I absolutely love reading out loud, but I don't know if I have a good voice for it. And I was wondering if you guys have any, instructors or classes to recommend so I could just see if I'm any good at it or if I.
Yeah.
That would be good for it.
If anybody has any recommendations, put them in the chat.
Thank you. Oh, yay! Thank you so much, Dorothy. Another question is I'm looking at ADHD coaching, and I've taken the training program. So I'm going to be working with clients again in a little bit. But I was wondering, Christine or anyone else, do you recommend getting the insurance immediately? To cover if there's ever someone who tries to sue you because they're unhappy about.
Like errors and omissions insurance. I mean, I'm like the worst person to ask for this.
I just didn't know.
Yeah, I mean,
or if it's like really low probability.
I mean, like as an organizer, I never had insurance. So no,
Oh,
that
okay.
was not smart necessarily. Nothing happened.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like a when do you do it? When do you do it? Now, it doesn't cost a lot
Yeah.
to get insurance.
Cool.
So you might look into rates, but I think your first, how do you think you're going to get your first couple clients? Like, who do you think your first couple clients will be?
Well, some people are people I took the class with, and you can do a certain amount of trades that'll count towards your ICF certification, the International Coaching Federation. But also, I don't know. I saw somebody posted on Reddit. They said, "I'm looking for clients. I'm new. I don't have to charge much at this point." And that's kind of the situation I'm at for this year is I would be good for me to just have really people that aren't. I'm not looking for a lot of income this year. I know this sounds really weird, but I'm trying to do this thing where I pay no taxes this year through capital gains because I just got an inheritance. And so I'm trying this to like not earn a lot over the certain number this year. And then I'm going to just try to like earn. So I kind of have in this extremely enviable or fortunate position where I can just build this year, you know, like build different or, you know, learn and build towards hopefully earning January.
Yeah, now let me ask you, would it make you feel more comfortable and more confident doing your coaching if you knew you had that insurance?
Maybe. I do tend to be the kind of personality that wants to make sure I all the protections in place.
Yeah, then get it. Then just get it. Because you buy the policy for like a year, I believe. It's so just buy it now. It's not going to be a lot. I think it should just be like a couple $100 on the low end. And then you have it for a year. You don't have to think about it. And you can just go forward, whew, feeling like that's just not a concern. And I think that in your situation, the other thing about when I was organizing, yeah, I didn't have a lot of assets. I didn't have a house. I didn't have anything somebody could really sue me for. You are in a different stage of life as I am now. So I think understanding your situation, probably good to just get that insurance. And then you don't have to worry about the house and you don't have to like worry about. Then you can be fully focused on the coaching, because what you don't want to be is like, well, I don't want to do anything wrong with this person lest they sue me. Like that, you can't coach like that. Yeah. So just get it when you're ready to, and let's say you want to do some hours with your colleagues before you get like strangers, you can just write up a form that says, we are doing this exchange, blah, blah, blah. We agree there will be no litigation, that we are, you know, taking this guy, like just write up a little boilerplate. I'm sure you can find it, some language online, and just go sign it. Or, oh, the coaching.
Coaching school has given examples of those
Perfect.
contracts or agreements.
And I think since you'll be working with people who are in that coaching school, it'll be fine. And then maybe when you're ready then, or a client comes your way, then just get the insurance and you're covered.
Thank you. Can I ask one other really quick question? Thank you so much for that. Is I'm also quite interested in starting a podcast, and this is just very initial, but the possibility of, you know, interviewing a lot of people and then having it on YouTube to eventually maybe there might be benefits that might be financial from that, but there's also other benefits from that. Are there people at Abundance Bound who are doing that I could learn from or connect with or who are have you know who are putting themselves out there making videos for social media or for YouTube and getting exposure or income?
I would post that in the community.
Will do. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I can certainly send you some resources. Now, okay, you want to get clear. I'm not saying you have to know this right now, but you want to get clear. Do you want to do a podcast that's audio only? Do you want to do a podcast that you film, people talking into microphones that you then also post on YouTube? Or do you want to do videos for YouTube? Those are three different things. And one involves, two of them involve audio editing, and two involve video editing, and one involves both.
Good point.
And I know that the trend right now is like, well, if you're going to do a podcast, you also have to videotape it so you can put it up on YouTube. That's bullshit. And it was just another way for guys mostly to compete with one another. It's like, oh, well, we're not just doing a podcast, we're also doing videos because they have teams. Every single person has either a ton of money or they have a team if they are doing a podcast that is also done on video. Because it's double the amount of work. So you can't, I'm just saying that because if you just want to have an audio podcast, yeah, you can totally do that. And if you just want to do YouTube videos and no podcast, that's great too. You don't have to have both. You can. It's just more work. And the people who are doing it have teams.
Yes,
Okay.
yes.
Yeah.
Great
So,
point.
and do you which do you lean towards, the audio or the video?
Well, I think I would need to be realistic, and maybe start at the easiest level. There is someone I love who has she had a YouTube channel has called How to ADHD, and
Yeah.
she started out, Jessica McCabe, with just her very, very hardcore research and preparation and cute animation. She had a boyfriend at the time who did animations and editing. And I love doing all that stuff. But anyways, yeah. As soon as she grew, she needed a team. She has a full-on team. So I'm just playing with a lot of ideas right now. I'm really, feeling a lot of scared and excited, and also I have to be realistic about because I have a lot of ideas, but what's, what can I actually do to begin? And
Yeah. Now, here's some advice. I love podcasts. I love listening to them. And yes, you can definitely, they are a way that people can find you. And you can get clients out of it. But if you really want, like, I want exposure, I want the ability to make money, I want to use this for marketing purposes, YouTube is better because YouTube is a search engine, ADHD. And YouTube, because of the algorithm, people can find you randomly, and YouTube can boost a video that gets a little bit of traction. In the podcast world, there's no algorithm. People have to search out your podcast or hear about your podcast and find you. And monetizing a podcast right now, which by the way is why a lot of the podcasters are also doing y making filming their podcast so they can put it on YouTube so they can make money.
yes.
Because in the podcast world, the monetization comes from ads, but you have to have a huge audience. So there's, you can get clients, but you can't really monetize, where on YouTube you can get clients and possibly eventually monetize. So if you're going to put effort towards one of the two, podcast or YouTube channel. Also, having a YouTube channel to attract clients is different than being a YouTuber. YouTuber is making their money from YouTube. Someone who's using YouTube as a marketing can make money from YouTube, but also is really trying to just enroll people into something else that provides the income. So when you're looking for advice on how to grow your audience through YouTube, there's two separate groups of people giving advice. One of them is to YouTubers. That's not the advice you want. If you follow that advice, you'll drive yourself nuts because that's not your end goal. You want advice from people who are like, here's how to use YouTube to get your clients for coaching. That's the group of people you want advice from on how to use the system.
Cool.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Totally, totally. Yes. Awesome.
And
Thank you.
yeah, and if you don't mind being on camera, be on camera. Video is it. Now, as long as we have electricity.
Yeah.
So
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you so much.
We are so
Lot to
welcome.
think about. Thank you.
Absolutely. And keep coming back here. No question is too small. No question is too granular. These are all the little weird questions we have as we try to build a business and income. So I'm here for it.
Awesome. Thank
Yeah,
you
it's good to see you.
too.
Denise.
Hi there.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We're all just hanging in.
Yeah.
Hi.
So, I wanted to just do a quick check-in because I know that the last meeting we had talked about. I was asking about like in-house marketing with different companies and kind of writing, I guess, copy for their ads or their, campaigns.
The last time we talked, you were outside, right? In a garden or backyard? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was in my in the dog park area of the
Yes.
building.
Okay. I'm clear. I remember.
Yes. So, I just n wanted to be accountable that I really have not done. I've done little to nothing about it, but I wanted to hold myself to task.
Okay.
I did literally like just do a Google search on it so I could say something. And it's something that I want to, recommit to. Doing more research. I've just, from what I've been able to pull up, there was just an article on talking about kind of the pros and cons or what's better to go with an actual advertising agency or to go with your in-house. Thank you, Kate. Your in-house marketing. And it was just interesting because I was saying like in-house marketing can be as simple as your company's Instagram account. You know what I mean? Or your online presence. So, I mean, I have since our conversation been hearing more and more about like what you were saying, like just that copywriting is dying a very quick death, because of the AI. So, I just will commit to between now and the next call, like, spending more time looking into it. I think in the larger picture, I have plans. Like, I don't actually have plans, but I plan on creating plans to leave the country within, I'd say, 6 months to a year.
Okay.
And that's consuming a lot of my kind of brain power right now.
Sure.
I don't have anything in place. I don't even know to where I would move.
Okay.
So I think that they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. I think that they are and can be connected to each other. But right now, my puzzle is like I have maybe one piece on the table and out of maybe like 5,000 pieces. So that could be something that I incorporate when I'm doing my research. Where that, what markets that might be viable. a viable proposition outside of the States? I don't know. Do you have any guidance around when looking in other parts of the world to live, kind of job wise? I don't know,
Okay.
kind of research to do. I come from a substitute teaching background. I would love to actually stay with the district because I've been with them for a long time and my retirement is connected and health insurance and all that stuff. So I would essentially be giving that up if I left the country. But I don't think that's, I don't think staying with it is a strong enough pull to kind of stay here for the time being.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad you're asking about this. Because for several reasons, but one, I just want to acknowledge and appreciate the fact that you showed back up and you're like, I didn't do much, but here's where I'm at. Because if you hadn't said that, I wouldn't be able to help you in this way. If you are thinking, even if it's like, I'm not even like 80% sure, even if it's like 50-50 that you might want to leave the country, I would definitely incorporate that into this creating cash flow. It's like, well, you might as well start looking for things that give you the option or the opportunity and just open up your search to the globe rather than just like, what can I do here? If you even have a little thought that maybe in the future, even if it's 2 or 3 years, thing number one, there's a podcast, The Move Abroad Coach.
Oh, nice.
All she does is help people move abroad. You can listen to all the things. It's going to just sort of start opening up your mind about, like, oh, what are the considerations? And she deals with people who are moving abroad, and need to kind of like work abroad. Not necessarily. And so I remember listening to an episode where she was talking this woman through, like, okay, well, do you stay here and try to build a business that earns this amount of money so that you can move, or do you move? And like, she's good at kind of strategically talking people through options, and you'll get ideas for what you can do. And there are websites, job hubs for digital nomads, for remote work globally, or like in the particular country. So there's if you send me a, are you on the Abundance Bound platform, the Mighty Networks platform?
I am.
Okay, find me, send me, or you know what I'll do? I will send this information to Kate, and Kate will get on the platform and send it to you in a private.
Thank you both in advance for that.
And Denise, what's your last name?
It's Sealy, Sealy.
Yeah, because I can find that and just shoot it to Kate, and then Kate can get on there and just because I believe I collected for another client like some platforms and some websites.
Awesome.
So yeah, so start looking at the type of work, what you can bring from your background that might fit into the places, what these kind of employers want, and then start looking at like, where would I want to move? And then what's available there? There'll be Facebook groups for expat communities. Like, there's Facebook groups for people who've moved to Costa Rica and moved to Ireland and moved to England. Like, there could even be podcasts as niche as we moved to Costa Rica and here's all the information about us moving. Because I know there was one of like, we moved over to this country, and it's just a podcast all about that very niche information.
For sure, for sure.
So you can be doing that as you are looking at like, okay, what can I do for income like now? Cash flow now. But it would be interesting. I mean, if you're going to be on a job search, wouldn't it be interesting to get a job with a company that has places in the places that you would like to work, and maybe a company that would transfer and keep the job? I don't, there's all sorts of weird situations out there in the world these days. That's the good thing. Yeah.
Know what I want to say really quickly? So first of all, hey, just in case anybody else on the on this Zoom has been considering it, it's one of the things that I did was I worked with an astrocartologist. And what an astro this is going to sound a little woo-woo, okay? So
Oh,
for
I'm here for it.
okay. So basically what they do is they take your birth chart information and they basically project it onto a map of the world, right? So they're able to kind of look at your which planets are in which houses based on, your birth, but they're able to kind of find the more auspicious locations for you around the world, because I really was like, I don't know how to narrow it down. And two really quick things. One interesting thing that I discovered was that my like most inauspicious like two planets are in LA. I've been here for 26 years and I have felt every single year of the inauspiciousness. And also, one of the things that came up for me, like when we were looking at my kind of astrocartography birth chart, was marketing. So I was told, yeah, marketing and kind of like, so I was like, no wonder, So when we have these inclinations, like one year I just wanted to leave and move to Norway randomly. I just wanted to go to Norway. Turns out that Norway is like very auspicious for me. So when we have inclinations, like we like certain places or we're like, this place is difficult, there's usually a reason for it. So I just wanted to throw that out there in case anybody is like, I'm curious, but I wouldn't know where to go. You could try the astrocartography route, and like astro.com has a whole thing where you can look at it. There's books on it, there's people who do it. So I just wanted to put that out there. Really.
Oh, thank you. Hey.
Yeah, thank you.
I just wanted to I had a former life as a marketer in corporate environments, and on LinkedIn there are a bunch of different groups for people who work in marketing.
Oh, nice.
So as you're exploring, I would suggest you sign up for these groups, and you can network with people. You can also look at what kind of jobs these people are doing and
Nice.
where, and what, their job descriptions. If you look at their LinkedIn profile and see what they're doing, that can help formulate what you're looking at.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that that's very exciting.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm popping back in.
No
I
problem.
just have to say that, Denise, when you talk about all these things and opening up your life in these ways, you light up.
Oh, nice.
It's
Thank you.
I just wanted to reflect that back.
Thank you for that reflection. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. So I think some places just feel more difficult for us than others. Like there's some places that we love and some places we're like, ugh. But it was very revelatory for me. Like, oh, that's why it's been hard to gain traction. Just in general, because it's not like really like it's not the most fruitful kind of environment. Thank you so much, Kate. I really appreciate you guys. I really do.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fascinated by this. And I wanted to also say, now this is for everybody. When you say to yourself or are holding yourself accountable to a coach or a group, so you say, okay, I'm going to do this thing, these things. And then you come back and you're like, okay, I didn't do them. The most important, that's fine. Like, the most important thing I'm interested in is, do you know why? What either got in the way, or what were the thoughts that came up that made you want to procrastinate or avoid? Like, why didn't it get done? That's a much more important question than spending any energy beating yourself up. I'm not saying you were doing it, but the energy is usually spent beating yourself up. Oh, I didn't get. It's like, no. The energy goes into the, okay, well, why didn't that get done so that I can then have that data and apply it next to the next period in which I'm going to try to do this stuff? Yeah. And my guess is part of why you didn't do it is because you're not clicked in yet to the fire of, ooh, you're not, there's, you haven't clicked into the internal motivation of like, oh, I'm excited. I see how this is all coming together and I'm excited for my future. And this is a step.
Totally. I absolutely. I think, but I think that, like you said, putting it in the context of the next chapter, makes it much more viable as well. Because I think, in a way, it was kind of like, why am I trying to figure out kind of like this other career path when I know that my plan is to leave? And I think that I have just felt at the effect of like the inauspiciousness. I don't want to sound too hokey hokey, right?
No,
But
gut feeling
I
of like,
feel it. This disconnect that I feel, and it's almost at the point where it's almost like it doesn't really matter what I do, it's still going to feel that way. So I kind of, there's a lot of procrastination, just not just with that, but with a lot of things, because the disconnect feels so strong. I made a comparison to like having a garden, but the garden is poisonous. So I can do a lot of work and I can get things started. Like I can grow the flowers or I can grow the whatever, but the traction ultimately, it just isn't there. And I think after that happening enough, and I don't want to put it all on the world and like that I have no part in it, because I absolutely do. But I think it's almost like, it's like not resignation is kind of too strong of a word, but we're getting close. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like, no, just get to the other side.
Oh, you're breaking up a little
Okay,
bit.
you just gotta get there. Come on. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just trying to stay like
Oh, Denise, we can't hear you. Your connection just totally fizzled.
intact. Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, now. So re-say it.
Okay.
You're getting almost
I
resigned.
just, yeah, like kind of fighting not to be resigned, but like the amount of energy that that takes is like massive, and it feels like almost everything I have,
Yes. Yes. And I'm so
to
glad
stay
that you.
afloat like in one piece.
Yes. And I'm so glad that Kate reflected back that your whole vibe and voice definitely changed once you started talking about the vision that you kind of have. Can you hear me right now? Because you can you hear me?
Yes. It's
Okay. So here's what I would say.
yes, can you hear
Number,
me?
yes. Yes, we're good. Number one, I'm going to move. You don't know where, you don't know when. But the energy is, I'm going to move. And so now I'm on this little adventure of figuring out where, figuring out how, finding people to help me, put a plan in action. And if you can live each day into lean into curiosity, like, oh, I wonder how this is going to all unfold. I have no idea. but I'm going to get all the little pieces. But if you center all of your energy around the vision of I am going to move out of LA, that's all you need to know. And then you start designing your life around that fact and letting the universe lead you, and you follow the breadcrumbs to your next place. That is going to, one, make life more fun, and two, get that ball rolling and having a feeling of like, oh yeah, I am on this adventure now. I'm entering a new era of my life. Makes it more fun. Okay, well, keep coming back. I need to now hear this story.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope I have a story that I'll be able to tell you. Your reflection and your what I needed. So thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Okay, guys. Now, I believe we are back next week. Yes, we are back next week on the 20th. So come back, questions if you need to. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
Thanks, everybody. You can
Thank
unmute and say goodbye if you want.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you
Great questions, everybody.
so
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend.